honour of finishing off the book of Ruth. And like you listen to that reading and it's got a little bit of everything. It's got some story, it's got some legal stuff. You've got people taking off sandals in front of witnesses. And then at the very end, you've got this long list of people that may or may not mean anything to you. So the title of this sermon today I was going to call, What's the Point? What's the point of Ruth? Like, why would you have a story in the middle of the Bible and it's a love story and it's got random legal things in it? What is the point? So for us to find out the point, I think we'll start with some prayer. Thank you, Lord. Lord God, Heavenly Father, open your word to us. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Build us into the body of Christ so that we would truly love one another as you've called us to. And help us to see that you are sovereign and that there is a giant story arc that we're all part of. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so yeah, looking at the story, I won't ask you if everybody's been here for the whole time. I'm going to give you a tiny little snapshot of what happened all the way through. So we'll start with chapter one. Once again, I felt the need to illustrate things. Well, they look pretty good when they're really big. They looked pretty weird on my tablet. Anyway, so chapter one, everything is bad. So Naomi on this side, for the purpose of tonight, this side is Moab. And this side is Israel. So Naomi, she starts off having come from Israel. In Israel, times were tough. It says it was in the time of Judges. The Israelites were going through this cycle of doing the right thing and then doing the wrong thing because everything was comfortable and then being oppressed and then crying out, God, send us a deliverer. Then God sends them a deliverer. And they're like, hooray, God sent us a deliverer. And then they turn to the dark side of the force again and then God would have to deliver them and so on and so on and so on. And this book is set in the time of Judges. So there's a famine in the land. Naomi goes with her husband, whose name is Elimelech. For Becca's sake, Elimelech. We're studying Hebrew together. but I'm going to come back to that. So Elimelech goes to Israel from Israel to Moab. Moab, with Naomi and their two boys, whose names are Mahlon and Chilion. And Mahlon and Chilion marry a couple of Moabite ladies. And Moab was an enemy of Israel. So generally speaking, Israel didn't like the Moabites. They thought they were bad people. They sacrificed babies to their gods and did things that were pretty horrible that the Israelites didn't like. But anyway, these guys went there to try and make something of their lives. But while they're there, first Elimelech dies. Elimelech. Then Chilion, then Mahlon, and so then you're left with Naomi and Ruth and another daughter-in-law called Orpah, but she runs away, so we don't pay much attention to her. And what happens is Naomi hears that there's good things going on in Israel now and that God is providing for his people, and so she's like, right, we need to go back there, I need to go back there. But she loves her daughters-in-law, and she knows that their life in Israel would be terrible, because they're widows and they're foreigners of a country that's hated. So she says to them, don't come with me. Go back to your families. Your families in Moab, they'll look after you. You've got people and connections here. If you come with me, you've got nothing. And Orpah says, I don't want to leave you, but you're right. And so she leaves. And Ruth says, no. I want to come with you. I love you. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. And so the first chapter is all about that and establishing Ruth's loving kindness to Naomi. So now we go to chapter two. Things are looking up. I'm so proud of this. Boaz, I even gave him a little bit of grey hair because it says later on that he's a bit old. So Ruth goes to glean wheat, gleaning being picking up little bits. In Israel, like people talk about the God of the Old Testament not being full of grace, people who don't really know him, but what he did is he set up this law where if I was an Israelite, I couldn't harvest my entire field. I had the edges, around the edges, I had to leave it for the poor and the widows so that God could provide for people who had nothing else through his people. So it actually was a bad thing for people to harvest everything. They had to leave things for others to come and glean. So that's what Ruth's doing. I'm a widow. coming off to glean and unknowingly happens to be in the field of Boaz. Hooray! Boaz, she didn't know this, but Boaz happens to be one of the guardian redeemers of the family. And I'll explain that a bit more shortly. But yes, it's all very good. Boaz sees that all his people say, wow, Ruth's a really great girl. And she looks after Naomi and she's an upright, upstanding person that they describe kind of like, if you know anything about Proverbs 31, he uses those kind of terms. She's a really, this is a good bird. Excuse my terminology. I grew up in Mildura in the 80s. I probably could have said much worse, but anyway. So Boaz says, oh, she's looking after Naomi, and Naomi's one of my relatives. Oh, what a great girl. Okay, and he goes and speaks to her and says, come and work with the ladies that work for me. Like, don't stick around on the edges of the field. Come and work amongst the harvesters and do your gleaning there. So Naomi comes home with huge amounts of barley, and she's like, look what I've got, and explains the thing to what's her name? Naomi. No, Ruth. Ruth. Sorry, Ruth is in there. So please feel free to go like that if I make a mistake like that. Yes, so Ruth is in the fields and she's getting the stuff with the other workers, takes it all home to Naomi. Naomi says, oh, Boaz, he's one of our guardian redeemers. Very important role. And so Naomi says, you just stay there and work there. So she was living with Naomi and going into work in Boaz's field every day for about 3 months, they reckon, the ancient barley harvest would have taken. Chapter 3. Things are heating up. I think I'm hilarious. So Naomi basically sets up Ruth to get married to Boaz and tells her exactly what to do. But if it had gone wrong, Ruth could have been killed. Ruth could have been seen as an unrighteous woman doing naughty things, and she could have been stoned to death. But Boaz recognizes her as a godly woman and says that he will do right by her. She basically says, marry me. And he says, I will, but there's a twist. And so at the end of that chapter, Naomi says, wait and see, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. Very dramatic. And so then today's chapter. Hooray, everything is awesome. The Lego movie is one of my favorites. I just had to put that in there. So Boaz fulfills all the legal obligations to redeem Naomi and Ruth in front of a crowd of witnesses. The people bless them. Ruth and Boaz have a son. But puzzlingly, in verse 17, the women say, Naomi has a son. Did you notice that? Yeah, it's kind of, okay. But so yeah, so what's the point? I've named this sermon, What's the Point? Today's chapter really tells us the point of the book. It seems like a love story. Faithfulness and generosity are very important here. And it's a story of taking someone from emptiness and loss right through to restoration. But it's interesting that in this book, God hardly gets a mention. Like, no one says, and then God did this. They say, we heard that God was doing this thing, or they'll bless each other in the name of the Lord, or Ruth at the start says, may the Lord deal with me, ever be it ever so severely, if I don't come with you, and if anything other than death separates me from you. Very dramatic. But God doesn't actually, he's not a player, an obvious player in the book, if that makes sense. So part of the point of the book, I think, is that, oh, hang on. I got away from the notes. Okay, so so the point, the main point that I'm thinking is that God is king. God is king, and he's at work in the lives of his people for their good. So you might not directly see what God is doing in this book, but you see the hand of God working through the people, working through Naomi to make the decision to go back to Israel, working through Ruth to stay with her and to then go and work really hard to look after her, working through Boaz to then be the guardian redeemer. So looking back at that, the guardian redeemer, or kinsman redeemer, family redeemer, is a system that was set up way back in Leviticus. Have we already been told about this in this sermon series? Ish. All right, well, I'll do a quick potted version because I've listened to so many sermons on this in the last little while that I don't remember what I've heard here and what I've heard while I was doing the dishes and watching Tim Keller. But anyway, Tim Keller was a very good sermon, by the way. I was watching that one last night. Recommend. So, all right, so the kinsman redeemer. In Leviticus, God set up laws to look after his people. Two things were super important to God and his chosen people, which was the Israelites. And one was the land, and the land, the way that the land was divvied up among them, and that the land was supposed to continue through the family lines. The second one was family. Family was massive. He was super, just wanted to make sure that family lines were maintained. And so as part of that, the kinsman redeemer was a role of someone, if I was super poor, so let's say Elimelech and Naomi, on hard times, it's a famine in Israel, oh, we're going to sell our property. Oh no, we've lost everything. How do we get it back? The only way to get it back, other than waiting 50 years for the next Jubilee, is for someone who's a relative of yours to step in and buy it for you. And they buy it at their own expense to restore it to you, and it's actually no benefit to them other than doing the right thing by their family and restoring their family. So in this story, there is no benefit, obviously, to Boaz. He spends a lot of money to get this field of Elimelech back. And in the process of doing that, he also, it says he acquires Ruth as a wife. So it's not that he buys her. The sense of it is more that he's taking responsibility for her. And also he's taking responsibility for Elimelech's family line, that any babies they have are supposed to be part of Elimelech's family, if that makes sense. Excuse me. All right, so guardian redeemer, got it? Yes, thank you. I like feedback. All right. So the idea was to ensure that someone from the extended family was assigned responsibility, the widows were looked after, the family line of the dead person could be protected. And to redeem something is a transaction restoring something or someone to its rightful place. Got that from Google, quoting sources. A transaction restoring something or someone to its rightful place. And interestingly, in this book, again, this is another point from Tim Keller, it's only got 85 verses, but the term redeem is used 23 times. So the idea of redemption is not just talking about redemption for Ruth, but we'll get to that later. It's coming. All right, so if we come back to verse 11, so then the elders and all the peoples at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel." Does everybody know who Rachel and Leah are? Mostly? Maybe a bit? Okay, so some not so much. Rachel and Leah were like the original mothers of the tribe of Israel. So the chosen people came out of them. And so in this blessing, they're basically setting up Ruth to be as important as these people. And like they're saying, you know, they go on in verses, in 11 to 14, they talk about that he'll be famous, that the offspring will be famous, and that God will bring about great things through him. And It's significant. That's the significance, part of the significance of this story. So then at the very end, it's got a genealogy, which seems a bit odd. Like we've got this love story, but then it says, "And then Boaz was the father of Obed, and Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David." And that's where it stops. Like, huh. Hooray, he's the father of David. Great. So David, if you're not aware of the history of King David, David was a super important person in the history of Israel. He reunited all of Israel into one place where there was giant factions within it. He was a man who was named a man after God's own heart. And God promised that through him, he would bring the Messiah, who's Jesus. And so then you see, oh, so this lady from Moab actually ends up being part of God's overall enormous story of redemption of all of humanity. Do you think that's cool? I think that's cool. Why is this not working? Come on. That's hilarious. I'm going to need to get my sermon from down here. Technology is wondrous when it works. That's hilarious. Why did it stop there? Okay, so this is the point then. God is king, and he's at work in the lives of his people for their good. And even though, if you'd asked Ruth at any point, are you a significant person in the history of the world? She would have said, I'm a widow from Moab. What are you talking about? I'm gleaning because I don't have anything. I've lost everything. If you'd asked her later on, she'd say, hooray, I've been redeemed. But she didn't know what part she played in God's giant story arc. And so I kind of want to challenge all of you that no matter where you are right now, you can't actually tell what part you're playing in God's giant story arc. You might think, oh, like for me, for example, I'm just a girl from Irimpel. Hands up if you know where Irimpel is. Elijah gets points. Awesome. Your grandma's the best. Great people come from Irimpel. Irimpel, hub of the universe, population 1,100 when I was growing up. Tiny little place. Love it. Just out of Mildura. So the point is, if I asked you about your life, you might tell me just a tiny little detail about it and not see how that's relevant to anything. But God has a plan. God is king and is at work in the lives of his people for their good. So if we come back and have a look at the roles of Boaz and Naomi and Ruth, in this story. Still so very happy with my drawings. Boaz was respectful of the law, legally in front of all the witnesses. He ensured that Elimelech's property and family were now his responsibility, under his care, upstanding man, recognized in all of the community. And thinking about us, I was thinking, well, what's our responsibility? Because his responsibility was to be the kinsman redeemer. But our responsibility is written about, if you look in, I'm in the wrong spot, John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Then there's another one from Romans chapter 13, and verses 8 and 9. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. So to be like Boaz, I think we need to live according to the teaching of the Bible. We take responsibility for those around us through praying for them, loving them, and serving them. Then the next person is Naomi. Sorry, I give you running commentaries. This is what happens in my head. As I'm walking through life, just generally, now I have to wash the dishes, and first I need to get the soap, and so because I'm speaking into a microphone, you get to have the running commentary that's going on in my head at the same time. Hooray. All right, so Naomi. Naomi in chapter 1, so the mother-in-law figure, she believes that God's against her. She's literally lost everything. But by the end of this story, her story arc is complete. She's gone from having nothing to full restoration of life and purpose. And so for us, sometimes we can be so overcome by our circumstances. When you're stuck in a really, really hard time, all you can see sometimes is that hard time. And it's really hard to know that actually we're part of God's greater story arc and that He is working something through us, even in the midst of our difficulties. I think we've all had a moment where we can't see how things could improve or how we get out of a situation. But Naomi shows that even when we can't see it, that God is working for us and He's working through us. So no matter how we feel, He is faithful and His love never fails. And then Ruth. Ruth is a brilliant example of someone who lived a life of faithful love to Naomi. And through that faithful love and her ultimate redemption, God was working to fulfill His plan for redemption of all of us. So for us, if we commit to love and serve those in our lives at home or at work or at school, we don't know how God's using us, but He is. Little acts of kindness and love that we do for other people, God sees it and God uses it for His good and His glory, for our good and His glory as well. So if you bring up the next slide. So I want you to think about at the moment where you might be right now. You might be feeling a little bit lost, alone, feeling a bit hopeless in a circumstance. Or you might be in a situation where you're helping someone and being helpful to them, you're faithful, you're loyal, and you're giving practical love to someone. Or maybe you're in a position where you can really be praying for someone or protecting someone or standing up for someone or doing the right thing by someone.